But first to Queensland and the aftermath of the floods. A commission of inquiry has been set up to investigate why dams couldn't cope and the lack of early warning systems. Annie Guest reports.
The Queensland Premier, Anna Bligh, visited Government House this afternoon and soon afterwards announced the commission of inquiry.
This will be an open, transparent, independent and honest commission of inquiry. It will have the full powers of a Royal Commission under the Commissions of Inquiry Act.
The Commissioner is the Queensland Supreme Court of Appeals Justice Kate Holmes, and her two deputies are a retired senior Queensland policeman, Jim O'Sullivan, and a Victorian water engineering expert, Dr. Phil Cummins.
We want people to be absolutely confident that we are not going to sweep anything under the carpet, that there is nothing, that the government wants exactly the same thing as Queenslanders do out of this, answers to reasonable and legitimate questions.
Those questions are starting to become more demanding as concerns are raised about the management of Brisbane's main storage and flood mitigation dam, Wivenhoe, in the lead-up to Brisbane's flood.
The terms of reference look at both the general emergency preparation and planning, as well as response and recovery, but it also goes specifically to the operation of dams, the adequacy of warning systems, the performance of private insurers in relation to their claims responsibilities, as well as other specific measures such as the supply of basic and essential services such as water and power.
The $15 million Commission has been asked to deliver an interim report in August and a final report in January. It will hear evidence from the Weather Bureau as well as dam managers and others and sit in some of the 86 flood-affected communities. And two of those are still underwater, Dirranbandi and Condamine. On the western Darling Downs, the evacuated town of Condamine has just been swamped for the second time in a fortnight. The mayor is Ray Brown.
All recovery programs are being organised at the moment to start work early hours of Wednesday morning. We airlifted in certain personnel, particularly water, electricity, sewage, boys, paramedics will all be lifted in on Wednesday morning.
One-tenth of the houses and a number of businesses have been inundated again in this small community of about 150 people. Plans are underway for residents to be airlifted home by the army.
Our aim is to try and get the residents back in there 1 o'clock on Wednesday, but with all support crews in place to make sure that the houses are safe. It's extremely important that safety is followed here. The river is an enormous river. It's still 4.5 metres over the bridge. So we're mindful of that. All access, road access, will be cut off still.
A small evacuation facility will be set up for residents who find their homes uninhabitable. Elsewhere, there are 15 evacuation centres still looking after 1,300 flood victims. Many others are believed to be staying with family or friends. The Premier has described it as a large homelessness task, and she says authorities may organise temporary housing. Many of those able to work returned to their jobs today, but many also returned to the clean-up. And as people throw away flood-damaged wall panels, asbestos is posing concerns. The Lord Mayor of Brisbane is Campbell Newman.
The priority for waste is to actually get out damaged household items, furniture, appliances, floor coverings. I have seen people starting to rip out some of the plasterboard, and I have seen asbestos myself.
The council plans to provide advice on how people should deal with the soaked building materials containing asbestos. As the clean-up continues, so does the search for the missing. Today, the death toll rose by 2 to 20, with the confirmation that a death in a vehicle at Ipswich was caused by the flood, and also the discovery this morning of another body at Grantham in the Lockyer Valley. The number of people about whom grave concerns are held has been revised down to 10.
Annie Guest.